Welcome to the Bloody Mary podcast, where we talk about all things horror while drinking a Bloody Mary. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Tammy. And we are totally married. We got our Bloody Marys, and tonight is our Black Christmas
holiday special. Woo, yeah! Woo! Merry Christmas, Merry Black Christmas. Yeah, Black Christmas, that's an interesting horror movie franchise. There's been three films, the original and two remakes, and zero sequels, which that's unique in the horror world. I can't, off the top of my head, think of any horror franchise that just does remakes and zero sequels.
I can't either. So, audience, drop us a line if you can think of some, because it's not coming to me.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that the first one didn't get it. I mean, I am and I ain't, because it didn't do well in the box office, and I get it, but like, it's prime for a sequel.
Yeah, I think the original just gets more and more traction as the years go. And full disclosure, the first time I watched it was yesterday when we did our Black Christmas-a-thon.
Same.
And this is one that you'd think that I'd have seen and you'd have seen. But I just remember I saw like maybe a clip or two when I was a kid and passing on TV. And for whatever reason, I never wanted to watch it. Maybe it was, I don't know what it was.
Maybe because you love Christmas and you didn't want it to ruin it.
No, because I saw like... What's the Silent Night, Deadly Night? I've seen that when I was a kid and stuff.
True.
But I did see the first remake when it first came out, and I remember liking it. But when we watched it yesterday, it was pretty fresh.
It was.
And then we had watched the recent remake, Black Christmas 2019, like around when it came out. So like a couple years ago. Yeah.
We did.
So anyways, let's talk about these movies. Black Christmas 1974. The plot is actually pretty simple. It's a sorority house of women, and there's someone prank calling them obscenely and killing them off.
Right.
That's the plot of the film. And also, warning, spoilers.
Oh, we spoil everything.
Spoil things. So if you haven't seen the Black Christmas films, go watch them, and then, you know, come on back and join us,
because
we're going to spoil the shit out of these.
Oh, for fucking sure.
Okay, so what did you think of Black Christmas 1974?
I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
This is going to be my new favorite Christmas movie, quite frankly. I'm going to have to watch it every year. It was funny.
Mm-hmm.
It was progressive, surprisingly progressive, in my head, for 74.
For the 70s, for sure.
I liked that you didn't really see the killer. You never, you saw his eye, and that's it, really.
Yeah, that was a really cool element to it.
I love that you didn't see him at all, because his eye, when he peeks through things, when you do get that, it's fucking creepy as shit.
They did a really good job in this horror film, more so than a lot of hiding what the killer looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Just in how they shot the few action sequences they had, like the chase at the end, they did a really great job at hiding him.
Mm-hmm.
That was really, I liked that element for sure.
And I liked that it was super simple. He's just hiding in the fucking house.
Yeah.
He's hiding in the fucking house.
Well, I think the thing about this one is you know that as an audience member.
Right.
You see that from the very beginning. You see him crawling up the ladder, or
the lattice,
and goes in the attic, and then he starts killing people. But the characters in the film don't know that, but we do as an audience member. So I thought that was really, really interesting and unique.
It was, and especially, so I know that they did like what, Peeping Tom was the first POV killer.
Was it?
I think so. Okay. During my research.
Yeah.
And then Black Christmas did it, but Halloween made it popular.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
when we watch it, I was like, this is a POV and this is before Halloween, so these guys did it first. But
and it's also, another little trivia piece, it is the first holiday horror movie.
That's cool.
Or event horror movie, like Christmas, Halloween, you know, everything, all that came after. Prom night. Yeah. All that stuff. So I think that's pretty cool. And I liked the creepy phone calls too. They were
they were a lot. They were pretty vulgar for them.
They were for 74.
My juicy cock is one of the lines that he said on there.
Let me lick your pretty pink cunt.
Yeah.
Like, he said that, like, not once, but, like, four times.
Yeah.
And I was, like, I was shocked because, A, I love that word.
Mm.
And, B, it's 1974.
Yeah. And I really liked, I liked that all the, a lot of the women were drinking and smoking, and that was really fun.
It was fun to see that, yeah, like you said, just the, there's just one just drinking, fucking giving little kids alcohol.
Margot Kidder was the drunk in this, and you know she's popular from the early Superman movies. She was smoking hot in it, and also she was really good.
Oh yeah,
she had one of my favorite death scenes when she dies. It was that really artsy unicorn glass unicorn head. Okay, so this is one thing that's constant through all of the three films. There's a glass unicorn. There's a glass unicorn kill in the first one.
And the second one.
In the second one. In the recent remake, it was just there. You just see it.
Which...
We'll get to that later. But so the director of this is Rob Clark.
Mm-hmm.
And he is mostly known for A Christmas Story, which is like
right.
the movie he did a couple after this. And then so after... I didn't know that when I was watching Black Christmas, but then I read up on it. And that makes sense because there's... a lot of humor in Black Christmas that is like the humor in A Christmas Story.
There is.
There's, yeah. And so that makes sense.
It does make sense. And I think there's a nod to that in the second remake.
Yeah. There was the
leg lamp.
The leg lamp, yeah. Mm-hmm. There was a lot more comedy than I expected going into this one.
And it was fucking hilarious. The house mom. Was
and oh yeah little, she was great. She hid booze all over the
her
house.
Sherry,
yeah,
her like she's like, oh, pulls out a book, Sherry,
she's
opens the toilet, pulls out a rope, it's like stuck to Sherry, like
yeah, she's an older character, a house mother, so she's like watches over them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's probably what, in her 60s in this.
Mm-hmm.
So just a 60s crazy cat lady that has booze hidden all over the house. All of her lines are funny as fuck.
One of her lines was, oh, these broads will climb even the Tower of Pisa, which means they'll do anything to, they're just horny bitches. They're horny bitches.
Oh, is that what she said?
Yeah, she's like, yeah. These broads will climb the Tower of Pizza.
Pizza. The Tower of Pizza?
The Tower of Pizza. I'm hungry. Maybe I want pizza. Sorry.
Do you want some pizza? Okay. One thing about this that I thought was utterly fascinating was the phone tapping sequence.
Oh.
Because so cops get involved and they end up tapping the sorority house's phone. But then it goes to the extent of showing what it was like to wiretap, I'm assuming, in the early mm-hmm. 70s. And so when you call, in modern movies, they just, you know, they trace the call. That's all they do is like, oh, we're tracing the call. Here we go. But it shows a man running through... like
rows and rows of
electronics when a call's coming, and he's running and walls and aisles, and then he like tries to find something moving, and he eventually finds it. He lifts it up and he puts in his headphones and he hears that's the right one. He closes it and then he runs all the way back. But you see the sequence happen like 3 or 4 times. I'd never seen that before in a movie.
Right, because usually they're like, okay, you got to keep him on the line. Got to keep him on the line long enough. You got to keep him on the line long enough because some asshole is like running through a warehouse.
There's
like,
a dude
chasing a fucking wire or some shit. Awesome.
They actually show why you have to keep him on the line long enough. Why you have to keep him on the line for 15 minutes.
Because there's one dude running through a warehouse.
Because there's a guy running through a warehouse. I just made that connection when you said it. That's hilarious. That's why in every single movie you see where you have to keep someone online, there's that fucking dude in the warehouse running around.
I feel like nowadays it's probably not a dude, but I mean...
Yeah, nowadays it's probably, you know, a chick running through that warehouse.
It probably is.
Yeah, for sure.
also found like it... Okay, so 1974, we were talking about being progressive mm-hmm. for that time, and it's... you know, women are free. We've come off all that, not free, but you know, like
it was the 70s. It emulated the culture of the 70s pretty well with women and how, you know, things were viewed.
Right.
I think.
Well, one of the girls was pregnant and she's like, I don't want it. So I'm getting an abortion, just so you know.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, we got to get married and you got to have the baby. And she's like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. That was,
That was surprising to me.
Yeah, for sure. It's it's still a hot topic now. 46 years later, you still can't get an abortion in Texas.
Right.
Which is so nuts.
For having it to pop up. And it wasn't like no one really made a big deal about it except for the boyfriend. Yeah, yeah. Like the cops were like, okay, cool. You know, like everything was just like,
well, it was just a smaller part of just their character arcs was.
It was, but yeah. I just, in my head, especially for 74, I felt like people would have more of a reaction, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I guess I don't know what their reaction
was.
And
I did like. Yeah. The cops pretty much listened right away.
That was really cool because in a lot of these older films in the 70s and 80s and up until today, a lot of the times cops are dismissive, not just of women, but of your main characters.
Right.
And recently they've started to not do that. Like the one that comes to my mind is Stranger Things where the Hooper, he's like, he believes the kids pretty close to like right away.
Right.
And more movies are doing that. And this one did it. They, you know, listened.
Oh, yeah. They're like, okay, yeah. People are calling. Like, they go to talk about their creepy calls. And, with the one part where she's like, fellatio. And the dumbest Nash, like the dumb cop, like, because he asked for the number.
Yeah.
And she was fucking with him. But other than him being dumb, all the other cops were like, yeah, okay, we'll tap the wire, we'll do this, we'll do that. They were like...
Yeah, they would joke around and maybe there was like a hint of a reluctancy with the first cop. But for the most part, I think probably what the director had that actor do is just play a cop. Don't, you know, have opinions, just do your job as a cop. And I think that's what he did. And that guy was the dad...
Nancy's dad.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
John Saxon,
which is really cool. It was fun to see him a little bit younger. You thought he looked like who?
Zac Efron.
Zac
Efron.
He was like
giving me some Zac Efron vibes. Yeah, yeah. Or Zac Efron gives me John Saxon vibes, I suppose. Since.
But yeah, I think this really did echo 70s culture, women's rights, abortion.
But subtly.
It did it subtly, but what it also did was it celebrated women.
Oh.
I felt like it was, you know, a celebration of just...
All different kinds. You don't have to be, you know, you have the one that's more reserved, who initially gets killed with a bag over her head and just sits in the attic.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the drunk, Margot Kidder, you know, just the all of them. Yeah, there's just a riot... wide variety of them, and I like that.
Yeah, yeah. And what it also did too is even with like that the hard press issue of abortion in it, it was encompassed in an entertaining package to where if that wasn't in it, you would still have an entertaining film.
Yes.
Which is important to remember when we reach other movies to talk about. Entertainment.
Right.
Goes a long way in movies that you watch.
So I wrote down.
Entertainment. Okay, go ahead.
I wrote down my favorite lines.
Okay, yeah.
Because they had some great lines.
There were so many great lines.
The first one is Margot Kidder's drunk talking to her mother, and she's like, You are a gold plated whore, mother.
Gold plated whore.
You're a gold plated whore.
That's awesome.
Merry fucking Christmas.
I remember the sorority house mom had a cool one about the cat. Something about fucking... The cat was called Claudette. I don't remember exactly what she said, but God damn it, Claudette. Something like that.
She was hilarious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, they had a scene where the frat was like, there was a Santa Claus and they were at a Christmas party. Oh. And he's like, ho, 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 shit.
Yeah.
Ho, ho, ho. And Margot Kidder's over here
in the corner
giving like a 9-year-old booze.
Yeah.
And she was like, what'd she say? Oh, she goes, I think this little bugger's snockered, son of a bitch.
Another cool thing about that scene is how entertaining and funny it is. And like she's, you know, giving the kid booze. And then you have the Santa over here. How it was shot was interesting. And I forget the term, but it was, you have one person in focus. And there's someone way back here, and with any kind of lens, they're going to be out of focus. But they did that technique, and I can't remember what it was, but they brought them both into focus.
Mm-hmm.
which I thought was really cool. And that, you know, reminds me of, this was shot really well. The cinematography was great. There's some really cool shots. There's some really cool angles. The directing was awesome. Mm-hmm. The lighting was really awesome. We watched it on a Blu-ray edition, which I think really made everything pop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, as opposed to like watching it on TV back then or watching it on VHS. And I think it's really bringing this movie up more. It's more readily available for people to watch. And I think it's getting more and more followers.
Or I think it is.
Fans.
I think it's getting like more of a cult following.
Yeah.
I mean, me too. Because yeah, I'm like, how the fuck do I not know? I don't like Christmas. So yeah, this is like the ultimate Christmas
and
movie.
And even like, I'm not a fan of ambiguous endings. And this has one. Oh. And I still liked it.
Yeah.
So the ending is the killer's just still in the attic. That your red herring that's in a lot of horror films is the one that they catch, or the one that dies, the one they think is the killer. But here's another interesting piece of trivia. So every time the phone rings in this is when he kills somebody. So he'll kill someone and then he'll pick up the phone from inside the house and call. So at the ending, when he's still upstairs in the attic and the phone rings, that means that he probably killed
Jess,
who was sleeping.
So like they think they catch her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Who's gone just nuts. And the cops are like, okay, she passes out. And the Claire, the one that gets killed first. Her dad had come to like look for her.
Yeah.
And he like all of a sudden fainted or had a stroke or heart, who knows. So everyone leaves and they're like, all right, let's just have an officer outside and we'll just pack it up.
Yeah.
No one bothers to check the attic, by the way, where there's two dead bodies and a psycho.
Yeah. Well,
they were not thorough.
Well, to their defense, they thought they found the murderer, right?
True. But also, like, if you look up in the attic window, there's a girl with a bag over her head.
Really cool. That's
which
really,
I love.
Yeah, it's
I
a
love.
Really iconic image, that lady with a bag on her head. That's really awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, to sum up this movie, Black Christmas 1974, I think is really, it's a great package. It's entertaining, fun characters, simple but engaging story. And it still stands up like 46 years later.
Oh, it does.
And I think that's a testament to any type of film that will hold up after all those years. And especially like, it's like a fine wine. It gets better with age.
Right. I feel like...
I would assume. I just saw it yesterday.
Right? I feel like it's harder to do with horror movies to hold up through time, I think.
Definitely. Yeah.
And so for this one to be 46 years ago...
Well, not definitely, but it is. It's hard for... I just think it's hard for any movie to hold up.
It's just funny. It was
well
packaged. It was great. I was like, I love this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Highly entertained.
Yeah. So moving on, 32 years later.
Which is crazy.
They did a remake. They didn't do any sequels. Like, God, they could have done so many cool. I will get into some ideas later. But 32 years later, they remade Black Christmas, directed by Glenn Morgan, who is mostly a producer and writer, and he's only directed a couple things. He directed Willard with Crispin Glover, and then a couple years later, he did the Black Christmas remake. And aside from that, he's directed a couple of X-Files things. But he's mostly a writer and a producer. Hmm. Yeah. And this moved to Dimension Studios, Dimension Films, you know, known for Scream and Faculty. And I think this movie is another case of my recent fascination with early 2000 movies.
Horror movies.
Horror movies. It's just, they're strange. Like, they don't really know what they're doing. If you move outside of your torture porns and stuff like that, like this is one of the remakes, but it's still, the tone is, if this was a trauma movie, I'd be like, okay, that's a trauma movie.
Right.
This doesn't seem like a mainstream Dimension film. Because what they did for this one is they went, you don't get anything in the original film about who's killing. They went the ultimate route where you know backstory.
Right.
Like half of this film is backstory of the killer. And then you don't see any blood or anything really in the original. Well, this one, you get lots of blood and gore. You get some hokey kills. What did you think of the 2006 Black Christmas? Also marketed as Black Xmas.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I'm the first one is going to be my favorite.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was still entertaining, and it was funny. I think if you're going to remake Black Christmas, it has to be funny.
Yes.
Because that's part of Black Christmas.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
And it's got all the early 2000s, you know, star, like teen, young adult stars. You got Katie Cassidy, who was in...
Who is also a Nightmare on Elm Street connection. She was in the shitty Nightmare on Elm Street remake.
That we will never watch again.
She was like, I don't know, she's trying to play a teenager, but she was at least... Right. She was like... She looked older. She wasn't a teen. Continue. Anyways.
We have Michelle Trachtenberg, Lacey Chabert.
Don't know who those people are.
Oliver Hudson, which is Goldie Hawn's...
Oh, yeah. The guy who is in Scream Queens, if you've seen that series. Dad. Yeah.
Because we're like, oh, my God. Who? He played a dad somewhere.
Yeah. He played a dad to some chicks in some horror thing. And then we looked it up. Scream Queens. Which, if you haven't seen Scream Queens, go watch that shit.
Yeah. That's good, too.
Yeah.
You know, it gave me my glass unicorn fucking kill.
Yeah, they had the glass unicorn kill.
There's an icicle death.
Yep, and they brought back an actress from the first one. It was the curly-haired lady who was in the original Black Christmas. Now she plays the house mother.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was cool to see that. Yeah, for sure.
And they had the first person get killed off as Claire, just like the first movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And... you know, we get our bag over the face kill.
Mm-hmm.
Important for Black Christmas.
Yeah.
And they had some ridiculous kills. Ridiculous kills.
Yeah, like, they were pretty funny.
The ice skate. The ice skate, yeah.
That was cool.
What I didn't like is I liked the fact that we didn't really know anything about the psycho in the house.
Yeah.
In the first one.
Yeah, definitely.
So this one was like, it was very psycho killer backstory.
Yeah. I mean, to their defense, it was like, okay, if you're going to tell a little bit about, if you're going to say anything about the backstory, you can't touch on it. Just go for it. And I think they did. And they didn't just go for it. It was like
balls to the wall over it.
And the another thing, this movie, so the first one, the original Black Christmas, there's subtle messages about, like, you know, abortion, women, that kind of stuff. Right. This one dropped all that. There was zero message.
Zero.
Any messages in this one. If there was a message in this, it was, don't kill your husband in front of your kid. And then if you do that, don't lock your kid up in the attic for the rest of his life. And then if you do happen to lock your kid up in the attic for the rest of his life, don't go fuck him when you're horny.
No.
And if you do fuck him when you're horny, wear protection so you don't have his,
a baby.
His sister daughter.
Oh my God.
That teams up with him later to kill off all these people.
Right.
That's your message.
That's
for
your message.
Black Xmas.
Because he breaks out of the asylum.
Yeah, I did.
Like, I mean, the asylum thing was fun when they were like, the guy was going through and he was like, giving every Merry Christmas and like opens up and he's like, happy birthday. And there's a guy thinks he's Jesus. And then like he goes on and like, this is the closest thing we have to taste like your mom, which is chicken. Cause in the, he like after his mom violates him and then he goes, he like breaks out, gets his sister, tries to kill sister daughter. And then he kills everyone in the house except for her. And makes gingerbread, marks.
Well, he kills his mom and then makes cookies out of her flesh and then he eats them. Yeah,
while the cops are there, which I like.
Yeah, yeah,
I like that part.
Yeah, and you know, truly, I don't know how I feel about this movie. I don't know if I like it or if I don't like it. I still don't know yet. I'm still digesting it. I'm floating somewhere in the ether with a Black Xmas.
Yeah. I was entertained.
I don't know if I was or not. I think I was. It's a weird one for me. What I can say about Black Christmas, okay, just thinking about all of these films, if you were to say I directed one of these, it would be Black Christmas. It would be the second one.
Oh, for
it
you?
It would be, yeah. If you were if I told you I directed one of these three, which one would you think would
the
be my
one?
Style of directing? Yeah, for definitely. I mean, it has the same plot as the original Black Christmas for the most part. It's just they go into more backstory. They definitely lean into the gore more, and they definitely lean into the hokey, tongue-in-cheek nature of everything.
Right, and then you see their faces, the killer's faces, a little more.
A lot more. You just see their faces.
But you still get your eyeball shots. And there's two killers. There's not just one, there's two.
Yeah, it's him and his sister.
Him and his sister.
Daughter. Yeah. So, if you're in the mood for like a holiday Christmas incest movie, then check out Black Xmas.
And one of the in the beginning, they're all opening presents and doing like Secret Santa. And and they know that they live in a house where a spree killer.
Okay.
I think what they said, killed their whole family.
Yeah.
And so they leave a gift for him every year. And the one girl's like, I think it's inappropriate to do that. And they're like, well, we need to have a gift for him because it's our tradition.
I completely don't remember that part of the film.
What?
Maybe I checked out. I don't remember that at all.
So there is not a lot of favorite lines, but the one that sticks. Okay. The one that sticks out the most is Oliver Hudson. His character's name is Kyle. He done made a sex tape with another sorority sister.
Yeah.
Of his girlfriend, and she finds out. And he was like, I'm not a dealer.
Oh, yeah.
And I haven't knocked up 7-Elevens. So.
Knocked up 7-Elevens?
You know, like robbed.
Knocked off.
Knocked off. Excuse me. Yeah. Knocked up, knocked off. Whatever.
You knocking up a 7-Eleven? Okay. Let's start. What was your line again, that your favorite one? Let's start from the top.
My favorite line, which isn't really my favorite line. But sex tape Kyle over here is like, but I'm not a dealer and I didn't knock off a 7-Eleven. So like, I'm not a bad guy. No one got hurt.
Yeah.
Even though I'm releasing sex tapes on the internet of women that I've had sex with. I could be robbing people and doing drugs.
Yeah.
So.
Well, totally. Yeah. I mean, I understand his viewpoint.
Bitch. No. Bitch, please. No.
No, that was really funny.
that was his whole justification. Yeah, like, take me back, baby, because...
I'm not dealing drugs. I'm not robbing things. I'm just fucking other women. So,
and
come on.
And putting the sex tapes on the internet.
Yeah. Well, I'm not hurting anyone
I'm not hurting anybody here.
Like, did he die? Yeah, he did, right?
Oh, he died.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
He died.
So, let's move on. I want to move on now to Black Christmas 2019. This one is a Universal and Blumhouse film. This is 13 years after the last remake, which is, I don't know math, how many years after 1974, the original? A lot of years.
Right.
So we still haven't got sequels. They just remade it again. And this one's directed by Sophie Takal, who is mostly known as an actress, and she's only directed a handful of things. So Black Christmas 2019 is a piece of shit. It's a piece of shit movie.
It really is.
It sits at an internet movie database rating of 3.4, and I think that is way too high. What did you think of the Black Christmas 2019 third remake?
Okay. I didn't like it. It wasn't a good movie. I have a big beef. I have a real pet peeve with remakes and things trying to pretend like they are the other things. So,
Wrong turn.
That's not a fucking wrong turn movie.
This should not have been called Black Christmas.
Black Christmas, you know, because...
Fraternity fun times holidays.
There's a sorority.
Yeah.
And they die. But...
Yeah, there's like three things that relate it to Black Christmas that could have been anything.
Right.
It had nothing to do with... I can only imagine... If I was a fan of the original Black Christmas, or people that are fans, hardcore fans of Black Christmas.
Oh, watching that one
that
and going, what
they were
the
like
fuck?
Excited that it's getting remade again and Universal picked it up and Blumhouse, and they're like, oh my God, maybe they're going to do something good with it. And then they watch that and they're like,
and they didn't.
What the fuck is this?
It wasn't funny at all.
No.
And that is a huge part of Black Christmas.
It is, yeah.
Big beef is they only showed my unicorn head. They didn't kill someone with it.
Yeah.
So what the fuck?
It was just in one shot, so why have it there?
Right.
You know? It was pretty silly.
And it was absolutely a movie of its time, and it's a Me Too movie.
Yeah, that's the elephant in the room.
Very heavy-handed Me Too movie.
Yeah.
And it's like... All the toxic masculinity amped up to 11, like every man is a piece of shit, except for one, but he could have been a piece of shit because like he, the supernatural And then they bring a supernatural element to it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, and they, the founder starts giving the men headaches, and then they instantly brings out their inner douche canoe.
Yeah, yeah.
And acts like a dick. Yeah.
So the premise of the remake is sorority house. God, what the fuck is the plot? And then hooded people just start showing up and trying to kill
all the sorority.
All the sorority girls, like a ton of hooded men.
Yeah, and it's not just one sorority house.
Yeah.
It's every sorority house on campus,
yeah,
all the girls are getting killed.
And then it turns out that it's they had found an ancient relic from hundreds of years ago that is...
The founder of the college's bust, who
yeah
got into black magic before he died.
Yeah.
And his view on life is women should fucking behave themselves and do what they're told and bow down and all that fucking bullshit. And then the men were like, yes. And so they created a frat cult. And
but this was all really quick, I imagine. Yeah. So it's just a weird, it's a weird plot for this movie.
For a Black Christmas movie. Yeah. It absolutely is.
Yeah.
And it's the first one, it had its messages, but it was subtle and the whole piece was entertaining.
Yeah.
This one was super heavy handed with its message and not entertaining.
No, this one pushed an agenda.
It did.
And so the agenda was your first thing in this film, which that's not why I want to watch horror movies. That's not why I want to watch slasher films, is for an agenda. What I like is like the first Black Christmas, where they have those things in there, but it's encased, like you said, in an entertaining film. I just think it fails in so many ways. It fails as a horror film, it fails as a slasher, and it fails as a Black Christmas movie. But also of the time of the Me Too stuff, you expect something like this to come out. It's just sad that it was in horror and it just took the name Black Christmas.
Right. Because I think those are important movies to make.
Yeah.
And it's an important subject to take light of as a woman. Like, I'm not going to behave and obey and keep quiet and do what the fuck I'm told.
But every line in this is like, anything having to do with all that stuff.
Right. And then like every man is an asshole.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I don't like, because not every man is a fucking asshole.
Yeah. Well, what's the thing too is like the entire film just crumbles because of whatever agenda they were pushing.
Right.
And like, not even that. If you strip away all of the politicalness, the message, all that stuff, you still got a shitty run-of-the-mill movie.
Right. Like, it wasn't, and we were bored.
Yeah.
I think at one point we were both on our phones like,
oh yeah, many, many points. Yeah, yeah. If you just take away all that stuff, you still have a boring movie. So it was just everything about this movie was, it just sucked. Like the acting was off. The directing was wrong. I didn't like how it looked. I didn't like the look of the film. Just, I didn't like anything about this movie.
It just wasn't an entertaining horror movie. And it didn't. No service. It did a disservice to the original. I mean, the second one, regardless of if you're on the fence or not, there was still somewhat entertaining, and you had, it was a horror movie.
Yeah, yeah. There was like no horror in it. I wasn't scared, and I didn't
really
laugh.
It wasn't. There wasn't, you're not, there, it wasn't funny. It wasn't horror. It was just, it was not good. And so my favorite line out of this whole movie was one where it was like in the background. It was totally ADR, like just they're walking. And she was like, I have a thong on and another pair of underwear. That's my favorite line.
I remember that moment when we watched it and you go.
Like, that's my favorite line. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Out of that whole movie.
Yeah.
That is the favorite line. And it wasn't even like, they're walking and it's in the background of another conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I want to have funny lines. I had so many funny lines in the first one. Even on the second one, there was funny lines.
Yeah. I mean, if you compare the recent one to the original, it's just night and day.
It's not a Black Christmas movie. And shit pisses me off.
Well, it's
like,
just, yeah.
If you're going to do a remake of anything or a sequel or something, you have to have it has to be in the vein. There has to be certain kills.
Yeah, yeah.
There has to be a certain flavor. None of that happened.
Yeah, it just straight up shouldn't have been called Black Christmas. And what they probably, what probably happened was like, hey, we want to make a message, an agendaed horror film. What IPs do we have that we could get people into the theaters to watch this with?
I'd be so pissed if I was the, yeah. if I was a fan of the first one.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, sweet. And I'm going to buy a horror. I would be fucking livid. Right? I would have lost my shit when we got out of the theater after I watched that. If I yeah, had yeah. watched the first one. Because we watched yeah, yeah. The 2019 one first.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, yeah, you did. Yep.
So, and I remember watching it going, I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
And so when we were like, well, let's watch the other ones. We watched the first one. I'm like, what the fuck? This is amazing.
It's a completely different movie.
It's a completely different movie.
Yeah. The only connecting thing is like a sorority house. That's it.
There's right. You know, if you're yeah. going to kill. There was a bag, but yeah. it was a very quick. But it wasn't. Look. It made me mad.
Editing sucked. It just wasn't cool. I forgot what I was going to say. But as you can gather, our favorite one, I would assume, is the original, followed by the 2006 remake, and then the recent one, which you just shouldn't watch. I think if you haven't seen any Black Christmas films, watch the first one. And then if you like that and you're like, okay, watch the second one. The
and
second
then let
remake.
Us know what you think. If you're entertained, if you're yeah. like him, you're like, I don't know how I feel about this. Did yeah. I hate it? Did I like it? But even if you didn't know how you feel, you still liked it better than the third one.
Yeah, the third one is just a bad movie. It's just, yeah, it's a bad horror movie. It's a bad remake. It's a bad Black Christmas movie, and it's just a black, it's a bad movie, period. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised though by the first one.
Yeah, me too. It's like one of my new favorite horror films. I think, you know, for sure. I think it's kind of weird that I never watched it before. I think this was a case of when people throughout my life asked me if I've seen Black Christmas, I just default said yes, but I never actually watched it. I think it was one of those things.
One of those, like, yeah, totally, I watched it.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I saw Black Christmas, but I never did. At all. Yeah.
But now we have all three of them.
Yeah.
And the third one we'll never watch again, like Nightmare on Elm Street remake.
Yeah, yeah.
But the original I'm going to watch every year because that's now my new favorite Christmas movie. So.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So if they were going to do another remake or another Black Christmas movie, a sequel, what would you want to see? What I want to see is, I think they could do what Halloween did, is where the latest Halloween is where they just kind of pick up afterwards. And you could do that two ways. You could pick up like modern day, where you bring in some of the actors or actresses that are still alive and you just kind of pick it up there. You could also do shoot it in the 70s and have it take place right after with a whole new cast.
I think I'd kind of like it right after.
That would be fun. Because they did that with Halloween, with the success of Halloween. Like, Halloween, the first one, ends similarly to this, where it's like a little ambiguous. He's still out there.
Right.
And then Halloween 2 picked up right afterwards. And I think they can do this with Black Christmas.
I'd like it to not be years later, present time. I'd like it to be next day.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was saying.
Because
yeah.
next day they're going to go in. The phone rang. Yeah, he done killed Jess, isn't yeah. she's dead.
Yeah.
So then, like, what the fuck? She's dead? The killer's not there? Oh, my God. And then he just goes down the lattice and then comes back up and kills another year of sorority girls.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you just put it, you know, I think the 70s aesthetic would really benefit. I think no matter if they did a remake or a sequel, I think it should take place in the 70s for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I don't want to see another remake. We've got two of them already.
Right.
I want a sequel.
Yeah.
It's about time we get a Black Christmas sequel, people. Black Christmas sequel.
Black Christmas 2. Blacker Christmas?
More blood.
New Year's.
This New Year. Black Christmas, Happy New Year.
Black Christmas 2, New Year, New Deaths.
And then I would like to see a little more. I'm a fan of gore. So I would like to see a little more gore.
Me too.
If they do, we're not going to say if.
Yeah,
we're
yeah.
going to say when. We're going to put that shit out into the universe.
When I direct Black Christmas 2.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
There was something, I usually like a lot of gore, but there was something about the first one that I didn't miss it at all. You know, they had like touches of blood, and I think they did it really artistically and well, and is probably one reason is to get around the MPAA, is you can't show, especially in 1974.
Right.
But Texas Chainsaw Massacre came out the same year too. So this is an interesting year for horror and for movies, I think, because Texas Chainsaw did the same thing where you didn't see any kills really.
And it still was felt just gory.
Pure terror and pure imagination. It was something. There were other horror movies that came out in 1974 and around that time, but nothing like Texas Chainsaw or Black Christmas.
No, I think they nailed it.
It really tapped into a cultural phenomenon. And there's something to that. Black Christmas, the original, still holds up. And Texas Chainsaw, the original, still holds up. And I don't know what that magic is, but just as a filmmaker, I would die to have a piece of work out there that holds up 40 fucking 6 years later. You can still look at, oh, that's good still.
And still be entertained. And
yeah. Has anyone ever worked for the phone companies in like the 70s or 80s that watched the show?
Have you had to tap a phone and run?
Is that a legit thing that happened? I would love to know. We would love to know that.
I would too.
Yeah.
And because that's just crazy to me. You got to keep them on the line because someone's fucking running through a warehouse trying to chase a line.
Right. Well, is there anything else you want to say about the Black Christmas films before we wrap this bad bitch up?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I mean, happy Black Christmas.
Happy Black Christmas.
Thanks for watching.
Yes. I hope everyone has a happy holidays.
Yep.
Or a decent holiday.
Merry Christmas. Thank you for watching.
Our Bloody Marys are dead, and so are we.
And enjoy life and death, and we'll catch you next time. This Bloody Mary's starting to kick my ass a little bit, but you know, Christmas, holidays, what do you do? Cheers.
The Bloody